Luke chapter 10. I want to present to you this morning some scriptures showing what God expects in return for the mercy He has bestowed upon us. I've spoken to you about mercy, but even though it's freely bestowed, God expects something of those to whom He has shown mercy. Now, in your King James Bibles, there may be different words, but there are three words that are translated mercy, compassion, pity. There are three different words, and at times the King James translates one by mercy, one by compassion, but they all have a similar meaning. Mercy, compassion, pity. And so let's read a little bit about these, and maybe I'll tell you more distinctions in these words. I'm just reading briefly to give you a summary of examples of God and man bestowing mercy. So in Luke chapter 10, first of all, you remember the man that said, "Who is my neighbor?" And the Lord spoke the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so when he does, the Savior asks a question in verse 36. "Which of these three thinkest thou proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." Now, Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, and look at verse 17. When our Savior has cast the demons out of Legion, those that owned the swine that were drowned, say in verse 17, and those inhabitants, and they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. And as he was entering into the boat, he that had been possessed with demons besought him that he might be with him. And he permitted him not, but saith unto him, "Go to thy house and to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee." And he went his way and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men marveled. And Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. And I'm not going to read others in the epistles. Perhaps I'll tell you about them as time goes along. Matthew 18, this is the parable about the man that was forgiven but would not forgive. And so it says in verse 32, "Then the Lord called him unto him and saith to him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because you asked me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. That's all we'll read for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so glad that you tell us about things of the heart as well as where this universe came from. All things were made by thy Son. Without him was not anything made that hath been made. But then, You have told us that you are the God who breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You have told us about the emotions of men, what you expect of men. So, Father, we pray that we shall learn this, that we shall be as accurate in the spiritual realm as some men are in the physical realm. Show us, our Father, from the scriptures that we've read and from scriptures that we shall consider about this subject of mercy. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A few people, and alas, too few, think the way the psalmist did when he asked this question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me?" Has that thought ever entered your mind? I hear so many Christians saying, "Praise the Lord, I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I'm saved." Then, you have told me with your own lips that you have received benefit from the Lord. The psalmist naturally thinks this next: "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me?" Or are you like those 9 lepers of the 10 who received the benefit from God of healing and then went your way and did not have a second thought about what you should render unto God in repayment of that great benefit that God bestowed upon you? You will find, when you read about mercy in the scriptures, that though it's freely bestowed, God, having looked upon you as being utterly unprepared to do anything but be a recipient of his mercy, he bestows that mercy. But having bestowed that mercy, he expects your heart to begin to work and realize what has happened to you. Like that leper that was healed. When he saw that he was healed, it said he returned and fell at the feet of Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God, giving him thanks. Without a word being spoken, he thought the same way the psalmist thought, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" And the leper said, "At least I can do this. I can fall at the feet of Jesus, the one that God used to bestow all of these blessings upon me, and I can give God thanks, and I can glorify God." Now I ask you this question. When you look upon your lot in life and see how different it is from others, you know you've been saved. Does that question spontaneously arise in your heart? "What shall I render unto the Lord?" Having professed to be saved, then you have confessed that God has bestowed something upon you. The next logical thought is, what in turn am I going to bestow upon God? Tell me honestly, have you thought that way for all the good things that God has done for you? Well, in case you have not, or in case you have, and there has not come to your mind just what you should give in return for God's free salvation, then I'm going to bring some of the things that God tells us to render, and some of the things that man thought about rendering to God, and then perhaps, if you have never rendered unto God, returned unto God in behalf of what he has bestowed upon you, then you can say, Why, this is what I should render unto God for all his benefits toward me. Now, I did not read this scripture, but it's basic. It is the basis of a man saying, what shall I render unto God? Before you start thinking about giving anything to God, you must first of all understand that God has given something unto you. That publican, that outcast from Israel in Luke 18 said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God bestowed mercy upon that sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, he went home justified. You say, well, then what does this tell us that we should render unto God? Absolutely nothing. It simply tells us of a man who cried unto God for mercy, and God in mercy heard his cry and saved his soul. We do not find what he in turn is to do for God answering his prayer. That comes in other scriptures. But you'll find ever so many scriptures telling us what we should do. Listen to this, because it's so beautiful, one of the loveliest passages in the entire Word of God. I just related to you how this outcast sinner cried to God for mercy, and mercy was bestowed upon him. Now listen to the psalmist. The psalmist says, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Can you think of anything more beautiful than that? This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Why, that's the most glorious experience that any man could have. To know the Lord, to call upon him, to receive blessing from the Lord. What is so excellent about that reference in Psalm 34 is that at first it's personal, but then it is repeated again in a general way. Listen to the second time it's repeated. The righteous called upon the Lord, and he heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. You say, then it's not to just this man or that man. No. It says, the righteous called, and the Lord heard and delivered the righteous out of all their troubles. You say, then, what I read about that sinner crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and what I read about the psalmist saying, this poor man cried and God answered him, I can apply to myself and know that if I go to God and cry for mercy, that God in like manner will bestow mercy upon me. That is the blessed content of the message that a gospel preacher can bring to the world, that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I can tell you that if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And when you call upon the Lord, you're going to call upon him in the twofold descriptive way that I've read to you from Psalm 34 and Luke 18. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is your approach to God. You're a sinner, and you're crying for mercy. You're not going as one that is acceptable and worthy in your own right and saying, God, here I am. I am a child of yours because of what I am. That never enters the question. And listen to the other man. This poor man cried. So, if you go to God, you go as a poor man. How poor? God commended his own love toward us, in that while we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We are without strength. We are without funds. We are without merit. And we call upon God. If we call upon God as a sinner, he will hear us. If we call upon God as a poor, helpless weakling, he will hear us. But if we proudly go into God's presence and call upon Him worthily, then He will have nothing to do with you. And so you say you're a possessor of God's salvation. Well then, you must have smitten upon your breast and said, I confess that I was a sinner. I confess that I was a poor man, having nothing in my hands to bring. I simply call upon the name of the Lord, and He saved me. Praise God, that's salvation. That's all that it requires. But the Bible speaks about the things that accompany salvation. And having called upon God, and having been answered of God, then you have to think, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits bestowed upon me? Now, in Mark chapter 5, no doubt is left as to what is expected of everyone who has obtained mercy of the Lord. It was so beautiful when I compared the two treatments of the Lord in Mark 5. He got rid of the demons and healed this man whose life had been ruined by Satan. And the people that lived there, that owned the swine, came back and said to him, get away, go away, we do not want you around here anymore. And the poor man that had been demon-possessed and they did not want him around anymore, instead of telling Jesus to go away, he said, Lord, let me go with you. I'm not demon-possessed anymore. And what there is of me, I want to go with you. And the Lord Jesus said, no, I don't want you to go with me, but I do want you to do one thing for me. I want you to go to your house, to your friends, and tell them how great things God has done for thee. That is what God expects of every sinner who has obtained mercy. What? Go and tell. You say, well, that's for the preacher. This legion, this demoniac that was cured, a preacher, you say, farthest from it. He was just a poor man, a satanically overpowered man that had been delivered. So he's not a preacher at all. And yet the Lord Jesus says, go and tell your friends at your house what great things God has done for thee and how He had mercy upon thee. And that is what every forgiven individual can do. You may not be able to preach a sermon. But when people look at you and they see you now and remember what you were and they say, what has happened? You can say, the merciful hand of God touched me and delivered me from what I was and made me by His grace what I am today. Have you done that? And if you have not done that, then you are like the 9 lepers that had gone their way, truly calling upon God for healing, but never thinking, what shall I do now that I am saved, that I'm forgiven, that I'm cleansed? Well, the Lord Jesus has told this demoniac that has been cured what he should do. Go to your house and tell your friends how great things God has done for thee and how He had mercy upon thee. Can you do that? If you say, I'm a child of God, then you have to tell me just when God bestowed mercy upon you. When did God do that? And if you say, why, can you tell me when as a sinner you cried to God for mercy and He heard you in your cry and forgave you all your sins? If you say, well, I cannot say for sure, then you're not able to go to your house and tell your friends how God had mercy upon you. You say, no, I can't. But the simplest thing in the world is for a poor lost sinner who's been saved to go and tell anybody who asks, what's happened to you? God had mercy upon me. And so that is a way to question your own heart. You say, well, I'm not good enough to tell people about Jesus. Of course not. You tell people how bad you were And that even now you are just a sinner saved by grace, but you're a sinner upon whom God has had mercy. And that you can tell everyone. I thank God that I did that when I was first saved. I remember, I was saved when I was 19 years old. And one thing God could never accuse me of was this, not telling people that I had been saved. In fact, I plagued them. In fact, they would turn to one another and say, listen to him, he's always talking about salvation, about the Bible. So my only fault may have been not with discretion telling, but I did tell anybody that would listen. And I remember after I was first saved, I was so intent on telling how God had mercy upon me that one that was instrumental in leading me to the Lord, I said, now I want you to sit down and listen to me as I try to tell you about salvation. Give me some pointers if I do it right. Thank God for that. I make no apologies. I said, I want to tell people how I was saved, and I want to be able to answer questions that they ask me. Now, you listen and tell me if I do it right. Are you prepared to take that step? Or are you like Moses? Lord, I've never been an eloquent man. I can't speak. Oh, yes, you can. You can tell people how you have been saved and how God had mercy upon you. You may not be able to tell how glorious you are, how excellent you are, how perfect you are, but you can tell about something that God has done for you in the past, how he had mercy upon you. And that is incumbent upon you. Because the Lord Jesus said, go to your house and tell your friends how great things God hath done for thee and how he had mercy upon thee. That you can do. So when someone looks at you, just as they looked at that man that had been a cripple, that had been at the gate of the beautiful gate of the temple, said, then there is a beggar. And now, God's grace and mercy had given him strength. And when the officials saw him, they realized that he was the man that once was a beggar and a cripple. And they wanted to know about it. And Peter told them about the man. And afterwards, if the friends of that crippled beggar saw him, and now he's walking around, and now he's not begging, but he's working for a living and giving to the poor, they would ask him the question, what happened to you? He could say this, God had mercy upon me. And that's what you can do. Any sinner saved by the grace of God can tell people this, God had mercy upon me. And when you do that, then you are fulfilling the exhortation that Christ gave in Mark chapter 5, go and tell. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are all witnesses, whether commended or whether just ordinary people. If we're saved, the Lord Jesus says, go and tell. And that you can do. If I said, explain to me Romans chapter 5, you might say, I can't do that. But if I can say, would you tell me how you were saved? If you are saved, you can say, yes, I can tell you that. And when you tell that, you're telling how you had mercy bestowed upon you from God. And that is what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. All right, I'll tell you a little bit now about these three words, and all of them are translated mercy in one place, but in other places they're translated compassion and pity, and they're all similar, but the one that's so different from the others is the one that I did not read to you in Luke 18 from, the word helaskamai, which is translated, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But, in reality, literally rendered, it would be, God be propitiated to me, the sinner. But who would know what that meant, that great big word? Well, it's this way. The thought is the Jewish brazen altar where sin offerings are brought and slain, and the blood is carried out in ritual form according to how God wants it. sprinkled or carried into the holy place, and that man is saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He says, look upon that animal that has been slain, that is on that brazen altar, and show mercy to me because of that animal that took my place. Now, this is the word that that publican uses in Luke 18. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That contains the thought of sacrifice, the sprinkling of blood, the death of Jesus Christ when we look to the future, but none of it is explained or required in Luke 18. Even if you do not know what the great big word means, if you just say, God, be propitiated to me, a sinner, it means this: God, look upon that animal that was slain, whose blood was shed, and in virtue of that, be merciful to me. Putting it in terms today, we say, Lord, look at the cross of Calvary, where the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, and have mercy upon me. And God has never refused one sinner who has called for mercy upon the basis of the death of Christ on the cross. All you have to do is to point to Calvary and say, Lord, because of him, have mercy upon me. And when you do that, you'll be able to say, and all you have to do to tell your friends at your house, all you have to do is this, is to say with the psalmist, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You remember that verse when you go home. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's what you do when you go home and tell your friends. That's the mercy of God. And if you are like that publican in Luke 18, and you've studied the Bible a little, you'll understand that God, for no reason at all, did not bestow mercy upon you, or God, for no reason at all, bestowed mercy upon you. There was a definite reason, because without a basis of forgiveness, God cannot forgive. And that is the next thought in that word. Now, the word is used by the heathen concerning an angry God that doesn't want to be merciful. But they persuade this God who has no mercy to become merciful, and then to show them mercy. This is never so with a sinner crying to God for mercy. But it's similar in this way. It is crying to a God, not a God who does not have mercy, but a God who is abundant in mercy. But there is a hindrance in God bestowing that mercy upon you, and that is a righteous basis of bestowing that mercy. And that righteous basis is Jesus Christ the Lord. And therefore, when you say, God, on a righteous basis, show me mercy, the Father is able immediately to bestow upon you abundant mercy, to deliver you, to save you out of all your troubles. All of this is because you said, God, be rendered merciful, be rendered propitious. It is not that God was without mercy and suddenly, because of your prayer, he became merciful, but it was God who was full of mercy all along. And because of the death of his Son, he is able righteously to bestow that mercy upon whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is when you say, God, be rendered merciful. It doesn't mean to suddenly discover mercy that you did not have, but being able to bestow the mercy of which you are in possession. Bestow it upon me. All right. The other words, eleos and oikeirnos, they are also translated mercy, but they have the thought of compassion, of tenderness, of pity, of sympathy. And so, when the other occasions of mercy, as in Mark chapter 5, go tell your house and your friends how God had mercy upon you, that is the word eleos, how God had compassion, tenderness, pity upon you. And what a story that demoniac delivered from the power of Satan could tell. That is the word there. So, he was told to go and tell, and you have the word oikeirmos. I will just tell you where it is used. You'll find in Luke's Gospel. It says, be merciful even as your heavenly Father is merciful. In Luke, that's the word oikeirmos. And then the word eleos is found also in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so, it really makes no difference if you're calling upon God to show you mercy, compassion, tenderness, pity. All of these thoughts are involved, and all of these words are used. And so when you say, oh God, show mercy to me, then God will show mercy to you. Now, the reason, and I will tell you this, the reason that the Lord says, go and tell how God had mercy upon you, is because he wants others to obtain the salvation that you have obtained, the same way that you obtained it. This is how Paul put it. He said, when I was first saved, I went and I started trying to preach, trying to join in with those early Christians. But they were afraid of me. They would have nothing to do with me. But then Barnabas went and told them this, told of my conversion, told that I'd been saved, that I'd received the mercy from God. Barnabas told them that. And then this is what they said as they looked upon Paul. He who once persecuted us now preacheth the faith. And they glorified God in me. Do you see what happened? They saw the change in his life and they said, he once persecuted us, but now he preacheth the faith. And it said, they glorified God in me. That's what the Lord wants to do. The Lord wants others to look at you and God to be glorified. Because if they think aright, they'll say, why, this man was hopeless. There was nothing that could be done for him. But he's told me that God saved his soul. Then there is power with God to deliver a sinner from any bond of sin. Praise God that such a thing is possible. The same thing that happened in the case of Paul has happened in your case. They will see what you were and what the grace of God and the mercy of God have done for you. And they will glorify God in you. If you go and tell, if you display the effects of the mercy God has bestowed upon you. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about that in Luke 10, where the word mercy is used. You remember that poor man that was smitten and left half dead by the robbers? And a priest came by and did nothing. And a Levite came by and did nothing. And a Samaritan came by. And when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. And when he told of these three things, he said to the lawyer that was questioning him, now, which of these three proved to be his neighbor? He said, the one that showed mercy on him. And the Lord Jesus said, you go and do likewise. Now, in the first instance, it was go and tell how great things God has done and how he hath bestowed mercy upon you. Go and tell. But now, in Luke 10, he said, the one that showed mercy, displayed mercy, manifested mercy. And the Lord Jesus said, then you go and do likewise. Therefore, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You shall be merciful because your heavenly Father is merciful. And so we are not only to tell others that we have obtained mercy. That is necessary. But we are to show mercy as well. And that is when I have sinned against you. And I come and say, have mercy upon me, then you in turn are to have mercy upon me. Isn't that remarkable? That God gives you a chance to do what he did for you to your fellow man. This poor man cried, God had mercy on him. Well, here is a poor victim that has sinned against you, and he says, brother, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. And then the Lord Jesus said, you go and show mercy as well. He says, when you ask me to forgive you your debt, I in mercy forgave you. Ought not you to have forgiven your brother as well? And so we are not only to tell of the mercy that God has bestowed, that we have received, but we are to show the same kind of mercy to others that God has bestowed upon us. But you say, he's not worthy of it. Were you? You say, no. Well, how did you obtain it? You say, I called upon God for it. I asked him for it. Then, if any brother, understand, if he comes and he says, be merciful to me, then as God was merciful toward you, we must be merciful toward him. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall obtain mercy. So these are some of the things that God would tell you to do if you have obtained mercy. That shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me. Go tell, go show of God's mercy. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're so thankful that there is mercy with you. If we thought about having to be good enough, holy enough, pure enough, we would never be saved. But our God, we have read again and again of your mercy. And mercy is that which is bestowed upon a man that is unworthy. And so we thank you, O God, that salvation is by grace and by mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We are thankful that his mercy would be our God. So may all here have called upon thee for mercy, and may all of those who have obtained mercy go and tell, and go and show. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.